Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This week marks the last few days of the 2015-2016 session of the state legislature, so it'll be curtains down on lame duck. Let's find out what's alive, what's dead, or extremely sleepy in these final few days of lame duck. Zach Gorchow of Gongwer News Service is back here with us again. In 2012's lame duck, Zach, we saw legislative Republicans push through right to work and the new emergency manager law, responding to voters rejecting the old law. This year, though, things fizzled out in their bid to go after pension benefits for teachers and municipal employees like police and fire. These are on the dead list. Why so?
It just was too much to, in the case of the municipal retiree stuff, too much too late to try to accomplish. A very complex piece of legislation, and it was just kind of thrown in there late, and in the process provoked police officers and firefighters into a torrent of criticism, and that just killed it. There was no recovering from it. They'll take another crack at it next year. This has been something that's been worked on behind the scenes for a while, but they're really going to be starting over now. On the teacher pension changes, this would have closed the pension portion of the teacher retirement plan to new teachers. They ran into the same problem that this issue has run into before, which is the governor does not support that change. They're going to take a heck of a lot of criticism for doing it, and in the end, I think a lot of senators, Republican senators, said, why would we take all this heat for something that the governor's going to veto? I mean, we've seen before the governor tends to be pretty circumspect about saying he's going to sign something or veto something. And he didn't use the word veto, but he made it very clear he does not support that piece of legislation.
So we can expect these issues to be revived in 2017, because now the cards have been put out on the table. And as you say, the municipal employee issues have been quietly worked on, but it's out there now.
Oh, yeah. Both issues will be back, no question.
What else has withered on the vine during this lame duck session?
Well, there was a two significant, relatively late introduced economic development incentives. One of which would have changed the income tax rules for businesses that hired large numbers of new employees. It would have allowed them essentially to keep the income tax withholdings from those employees' paychecks as a form of tax incentive instead of sending that money off to the Michigan Department of Treasury like everyone else. That passed the Senate super fast. It kind of came out of nowhere, passes the Senate, and the House just immediately said, no, we're not going to do that. Felt too much like going back to the old tax credit system of the past. The Snyder administration would say, no, that's not the case. But it ran into a brick wall in the House. The other tax incentive legislation deals with brownfields. This is the legislation that Dan Gilbert and other economic development organizations have been pushing for. Essentially would allow a handful of large so-called transformational projects on brownfields to reap a tax credit. That passed the Senate. The governor's office was kind of iffy on that one. They never really said whether they were for it or against it. And the House has said they will not support it. Now, the House Republicans have said they will not support it. Now, the supporters of this say that they are still trying. They are still trying to convince Kevin Cotter, the Speaker of the House, to pursue this, but it doesn't look good for it.
Well, you know, you got to wonder. This is more than just Dan Gilbert. There are developers all over this state lobbying for this. They say this could help get needed projects off the ground in places like Flint.
Yeah, Saginaw is a big component of this. And while Dan Gilbert is clearly the big name and most recognizable face, the supporters of this have gone to great lengths to show, hey, look, we've got people all over the state who would be interested in getting in on one of these projects. There would be a limit of five for the whole state and a cap of $50 million on the overall tax incentive. So you may not see all, you know, a full five at any given point, but it would be open to the full state.
And so this one would come under what you call extremely sleepy?
Yes, yes. As Fletch said in the movie, it was dead or extremely sleepy, yes.
How about that auto insurance legislation that passed the Senate? What would it do and how's it looking in the House?
Okay, so you got to go, this passed the Senate a long time ago. The specifics of the legislation, the main crux of it is to deal with the cost of catastrophic medical care. This has been a big issue for a long time with the insurance industry, that they want some limits on how much that is paid out to cover catastrophic medical injuries, or allowing people to choose to pay more, to have the unlimited benefits that there are now. It's taken a million different forms, whether it's a hard cap or a choice and so forth. And it just does not have the votes in the House. I mean, I'm not totally ignoring it because it is sitting there in the House. It's eligible to be acted upon. But all of those who are involved with it say that it just doesn't seem to be anything that's happening with it. There's just too many House Republicans and the full caucus of House Democrats who have opposed doing anything that really curbs in any way the unlimited medical benefits for catastrophic injuries that is in place now.
Zach, there's a massive package of bills aimed at reforming our criminal justice system. Without going too much into all of them, what's the major sticking point on whether these move forward?
Well, the big issue, as far as the one that's attracted the most attention, is the so-called presumptive parole legislation that says, say you're sentenced to 20 to 30 years in prison, you reach that 20 years, as long as the Michigan Department of Corrections judges that you're likely to succeed upon release, that you will be released. You cannot be kept in until you reach that 30 years. But it has run into a lot of problems, sort of law and order message from Republicans. The Attorney General, Bill Schuette, doesn't like it. Mm. One of the big problems it has now is even though it's passed the House, the main proponent of that piece of legislation has left the House and is now the supervisor of Plymouth Township. So it's really number one legislative advocate is not there anymore. We're all kind of waiting to see what will happen. And I should note the person who replaced that individual as the chair of the Criminal Justice Committee in the House voted against the legislation when it passed the House. So it doesn't look great for it. And it wouldn't shock me if all of those bills just kind of withered because there's just no agreement on moving the respective chambers' legislation. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Zach, what are the big bills you'd put under the alive and kicking headline?
Oh, boy. Well, I think you definitely have to look at the voter ID legislation. Mm-hmm. Has got to be looked at as something that's lurking out there. It's gotten a lot of attention, and deservedly so. This is the bill that would say, basically, you have to show an identification, photo identification, when you vote. And if you can't, then you have to come back within 10 days for your vote to count, unless you can really demonstrate that you are indigent and can't afford that form of ID. So that would really tighten up the voter identification requirement.
And that's been pushed by Representative Lyons of Alto. And where is that standing then?
That's sitting in the Senate. And okay. One of the things that's interesting is the chair of the House Elections Committee, you just mentioned her name, Representative Lisa Lyons, mm-hmm. and the chair of the Senate Elections Committee, Senator Dave Robertson, have really not seen eye to eye on a lot of elections issues this year. And they're sort of staring eyeball to eyeball. And again, this is one where it's possible nothing will happen. It's possible there could be an agreement in all of these issues that are lurking out there. This involves the codification of Citizens United and other elections issues that are lurking. You have the legislation that would ban the use of seclusion and restraint practices in schools. That made it out of the House after a long year's worth of work. Now the Senate has to decide if they can digest this legislation and pass it in 3 days. The lieutenant governor is pushing very heavily on it. You've got legislation that's a priority of the senator from Flint, would create a recovery authority and would make Flint eligible for the Promise Zone that allows paying students' tuition if they're from the city, college tuition. Those are sitting in the House, don't know what's going to happen there. So there's a long list of things that's sitting out there.
Any chance of a real out-of-left-field surprise coming down the pike in these final few days of laying
up? Oh, yeah. There always is. any bill that's sitting has passed one House or the other, if it's a multi-section bill, can be amended essentially to do anything within that particular law. So it could go from being something that seems very narrowly tailored to something entirely different. We saw that on a big elections issue at the end of last year. So that's always something to watch for. And you really have to be prepared for anything and everything.
And, of course, if voters are not happy with what did or didn't come out during lame duck, a whole bunch of those lawmakers won't be around in the new year to deal with the fallout.
Yeah, more than 40 members of the House will not be back.
Zach Gorchow, Gongwer News Service. Always great talking with you, Zach. Thank you so much.
Thank you.